This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
The option to early vote in the county clerk's office or vote the traditional way at their polling place on election day. For more on those and other stories, as well as podcasts and videos, you know what to do. Check out our website anytime, nowdecatur.com.
Thank you, Wyoming. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Former President Trump posted that on Truth Social, congratulating Harriet Hageman for defeating one of his biggest critics, Congresswoman Liz Cheney. Hageman, in turn, thanked Trump.
Obviously, we're all very grateful to President Trump, who recognizes that Wyoming has only one congressional representative, and we have to make it count.
Hageman got more than twice as many votes as Cheney.
I have said since January 6th, that I will do whatever it takes to ensure Donald Trump is never again anywhere near the Oval Office, and I mean it.
Until she's out of office next year, Cheney will continue to help lead the House committee investigating Trump's election fraud claims and the Capitol riot. In his post, the former president called her spiteful and sanctimonious.
In Alaska, Senator Lisa Murkowski, endorsed by Mitch McConnell, leading the Trump-backed candidate Kelly Chewbacca, both will compete again on a ranked choice ballot in November. In the special election, Alaska's only House seat to replace Dong Young, who died in March, Sarah Palin, trails the Democratic candidate Mary Peltola. All three candidates will be back on the ballot in November.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. Because the special election uses ranked choice voting, we may not know the winner for weeks. President Biden's back on vacation in Delaware now, while First Lady Jill Biden remains isolated in South Carolina with a mild case of COVID the day after he signed what Democrats call the Inflation Reduction Act.
With this law, the American people won and the special interests lost.
The measure caps prescription drug costs for Medicare recipients, spends nearly $400 billion on climate initiatives, and creates a corporate minimum tax for large corporations. Congress approved the bill earlier this month on party line votes in the Senate and House without any Republican support. GOP leaders argue the new law will increase inflation.
That's Fox's Jared Halpern. Opening statements are this morning at R. Kelly's next trial. The singer already got a 30-year prison sentence for sexually abusing minors in another trial. America's listening to Fox News.
Attention all business owners who rent or lease space, including storage space. Stop wasting your money paying someone else for your space. You can now save a ton of money and own your own building with the incredible sale prices from General Steel. That's right. Start saving money every month on renting space from others. Just call 888-74-STEEL to see how General Steel can help you save money. Our 50-year structural warranty buildings are custom designed for your needs and save you a ton of money. Call 888-74-STEEL.
Take it from a successful entrepreneur. If you need to expand or start a new business, you need General Steel.
Great team and the competitive pricing is the reason I went with General Steel.
Call 888-74-STEEL now, and you can get any of our popular quick construction structures, including a 40-by-60-foot building or a 50-by-100 clear-span building, fast and easy. Call 888-74-STEEL. That's 888-747-8335. 888-74-STEEL.
Rudy Giuliani, who helped lead some of former President Trump's attempts to get election results overturned as his lawyer, is due in court today in Georgia to testify before a grand jury probing Trump election fraud claims. Giuliani is a target of that investigation. This as Republicans demand more information from the Justice Department on last week's FBI raid in Florida.
The judge who approved the FBI's raid of former President Trump's home is set to hear arguments tomorrow on whether to unseal the affidavit that led to the search. In another Truth Social post, Trump suggests he has security footage of the search, despite the FBI allegedly demanding surveillance cameras be turned off.
Fox's Brooks Singman. The former president wants that affidavit made public. The Justice Department wants to keep it sealed, claiming the release could jeopardize the investigation after 11 sets of classified information were seized in that search. An organized crime bust in New York, like something out of a mafia movie.
Nine people with nicknames like Joe Fish, Sal the Shoemaker, and Joe Box are charged in two indictments with crimes such as racketeering, money laundering, conspiracy, and obstruction of justice. And prosecutors say a police detective is among those charged. The top federal prosecutor in Brooklyn says the men operated using fronts, including a coffee bar, a soccer club, and a shoe repair shop. The Nassau County detective, Hector Rosario, is charged with lying to the FBI and obstructing a grand jury investigation. Nassau County District Attorney Ann Donnelly says the indictments were proof that organized crime is alive and well in our communities. In New York, Lee Silasera, Fox News.
We're saving a bit more at the pump. Gas is down a 64th straight day from the record high. It's off a fraction of a penny. It's AAA's national average. For regulars, $3.94 a gallon, $1.07 less than the high in June. On Wall Street, stock futures are down ahead of today's trading. I'm Dave Anthony, and this is Fox News.
The Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater in Decatur proudly brings you Southern Rock Legends, the Marshall Tucker Band, on Saturday, August 27th. Can't you see? Can't you see? Tickets on sale now at devonamphitheater.com. The Marshall Tucker Band live at the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater in Decatur, Saturday, August 27th. Get your tickets now.
Millikan University is looking for the next generation of courageous, confident students and is now accepting applications for the fall 2023 semester. The application is free, and early applicants have the most scholarship opportunities. The university's prestigious majors and programs, thriving campus life, winning athletic programs, and competitive financial aid packages mean Millikan is in high demand. Visit millikan.edu/apply to learn more about the application process. You're right on time to make it Millikan.
Here is Nick Smith with your News Channel 20 Storm Team forecast. Looking good?
Yeah, it's looking great today. We've got a slight chance of sprinkles this afternoon. After that, sunny with a high of 84. Tonight, mostly clear and low of 61. Thursday, sunny with a high of 84. And Friday, mostly sunny, high of 84 again. The current temperature in downtown Decatur, 61 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:06.
Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Buyers and Company. Clay from the Decatur Park District will be in. We'll chat about all the stuff that's going on, including a free concert tonight at the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater with the Municipal Band. Check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. It all starts now.
Buyers and Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We are back here on a Wednesday. Beautiful start to our day in downtown Decatur. Enjoying the views. It's so, when the sun is crisp, you can see for so many, many miles.
Absolutely, you can. There's no question about it. I love doing that too.
I do. And I when we have fog or it's a little hazy, I'm like, where's my view?
Yeah, you lose like 40%.
No, you do. And I also, even to this day, eventually the view will go away. In your mind, you will prioritize it down the list. If you visit Hawaii once every 2 years, it remains one of the most magical places on earth. If you live there 365, it just slowly but surely, the view just goes away. It becomes ordinary.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, all these months later, I still am a little stunned that you can see so far. I mean, 6 floors doesn't sound like a lot.
It's a big difference.
No, but it really is. Yeah. Ground floor to the sixth floor. I feel like George Jefferson. All right. When we started the show here today, I told you we had a great day yesterday at the Do Something Great Awards. You can see the story and the photo gallery at nowdecatur.com. Kudos and congratulations to all of the honorees. And it was an interesting room. It's the first room I've been in, like, with a couple of hundred people since the whole Lincoln Park school conversation started and or ended.
Did the room have the old way of energy? Like, did it feel like pre-COVID times and all that?
No, I meant like when you will bump into several people involved way or another in the discussion.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. And so I don't mean like, you know, even if you go to a concert at the Devon, that's not sort of the same as like now you're going here and so you'll get school board members or you'll get park people or you'll get people that just have an opinion. Yeah, I was certainly expecting it from Bob and Lucy yesterday, who couldn't make it at the last minute. They were going to be at our table because I had conversations with them. But it was just an interesting, just sort of, you know, walking around and what's next. And then also like the things people will just say to you, like, I don't know if people just if they shy away from the commentary or the social media, or they live in a vacuum. I don't know. There's always sort of a disconnect, kind of like, we felt like we did everything. And you go, and then you're back to telling those four lies. Yeah, great.
Gave it a good shot.
Yeah. Thumbs up. But it was interesting because now we have this Oak Grove, evidently, right? You know, is the conversation. But yet I have heard nothing at all. And I'm not trying to put Clay in an uncomfortable spot, but I mean, just for me, myself, I you know, other than maybe there's still a chance to do something good for the district and you got to pivot. And I feel bad for the folks at Dennis, but Nick and I have said from day one, don't send this money back to Washington, D.C. because someone else is going to spend it. You know, it might as well be here. You don't get these opportunities that often. Yet I don't really feel like much has been had, at least publicly, about this at all. I mean, maybe you have inside knowledge or...
No, we're waiting here. You know, we've heard Oak Grove School, too.
I'm not saying that's official. I'm just saying that's what's right. been
Is there park
relayed to me.
Oh, adjacent to that?
Yeah, we've had a great relationship with the school district over the years with Oak Grove. When Oak Grove School was there and then the park, we actually put the playground in the place. So it was more convenient for the school when the kids were there. So, yeah, great relationship when it came to Oak Grove.
And it seems to be a little different. I mean, it's a neighborhood park. They're all neighborhood parks for the most part. Yeah. But it's not, I don't know, though. I mean, you know, getting in and out, is it any easier there?
I don't know.
I mean, people made a huge deal out of the you know, getting in and out of Lincoln Park. Oak Grove's a neighborhood park. It's a little different layout, you know, in my head. It's been a while since I've been over there. But there's certainly enough land.
Yeah, there is plenty of land in Oak Grove. You look at the other parks that were adjacent to schools at one time, the old Garfield location there on Oakland and what is that? Grand?
Grand.
And then we've got Hess Park with, I don't even know what the name of the school is next to that one now. But both those parks have tremendous amounts of land.
Because at some point in our life as human beings, we said we should build schools in neighborhoods. I mean, that was clearly a philosophy.
Well, and it worked well for the school district
now,
and the park district.
Let me say, it's also these schools are old enough where there wasn't transportation, meaning there were no cars. And so it probably made a lot of sense to build a school in a neighborhood because people had no other way to get there.
Right.
So, all right. So you don't have any other than just hearing the same things I'm hearing?
Yep.
Okay.
That Durfee Garfield land is the one I've been asking about like three times.
Yes,
it just seems so huge.
Okay, but you're then also asking them to change all of the boundaries in all the district.
No.
Well, I know, but you jump over that small feat every time you bring that up.
I know.
The details.
Look, I'd let them put a school in my front yard. We need one of these buildings. Let's go.
Yeah, but you also need to be able to do it without upending the entire.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, redrawing boundaries is a very complicated thing. I mean, it is, you know.
I can only imagine the logistics of bus routes and trying to figure all that out.
But
I mean,
just legalities,
right.
What's required under the law. I mean, that's like you pick up this thing and now you got nine other things to worry about. I mean, it is. I'm not saying it can't be done, but if they could do it without doing that, that would be, you know, because now you're if we can get it in a place where people aren't upset about it and you can do it without having to redraw the boundaries, then you're only upsetting this little area, not the entire district. And then what happens if your kid loves their school, but now all of a sudden they're in another school because the boundaries had to be redrawn to build this school?
Which would certainly happen.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And then now they're outraged. So I don't know. Keep me posted if you hear anything.
We'll do.
All right. So tonight, free concert. I was telling Nick yesterday, he was surprised that the Decatur Municipal Band may be the only thing older than Dennis School in Decatur, Illinois.
Way older.
No, not way
older. Yeah, it was like 1857. Yeah, and Dennis is like 1910.
I thought it was 1901. But
1901.
Yeah,
okay.
It's closer than you think.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's as close to that as it is to today.
Sure. That's
right.
Fair.
Okay.
That's fair.
So 1857, and they're playing at the Devon, which I know they play. There's a couple of shows in Fairview Park. They play down in Central Park. But the Devon is such a great setting because it's a different way to see them. And I went to their website and looked at the lineup of tunes they're going to do. It's going to be great.
Yeah. So this is their last concert of the season, as I understand it. And so they're doing that at the Devon tonight. Absolutely free concert starting at 6:30 p.m. down at the Devon. We'll have concessions available. You know, it looks like they're featuring Aaron Villarreal, who I know is a tremendous percussionist from Milliken, and Troy Castle. I don't know that gentleman, but those are the two guests tonight. So 6:30 p.m. start time down at the Devon tonight. Free concert, last one of the year for the Muni Band.
All right. So what time you said 6:30, right?
6:30, yep.
Okay. And if you want to be able to, I would assume, get there a little bit early. And once again, if you want to sit up on the lawn, you know,
lawn terrace, bring your lawn chairs. There are some reserved seats available down front, too. But best bet to bring your lawn chair just in case. Don't know what the crowd will be tonight, so come prepared.
All right. And is there any other rules that you guys have that, you know, if they're not regular attendees? I mean, I would assume this is going to bring maybe some audience that hasn't been to the Devon.
Yep. Don't bring too big of a purse or a bag with you. We do search those bags, and we ask that they be clear bags if they are possible to be that. And then just bring a little cash with you and leave your big bags in the car. No umbrellas, but I think we're going to have beautiful weather for tonight. But
and you know, it's interesting to me. I mean, I've seen a few, you know, arguments, you know, at the gate. Not a lot, but a few. You know, it's pretty standard protocol, right? I mean, in a world that, trust me, I would assume everybody would love not to do all of this, but we see what happens out there.
Absolutely.
And to ensure the safety of everyone, you know, that's why this stuff is put in place. It's not put in place just to make your life inconvenient.
Exactly. Some of it is our own rules. Some of it are the rules of most of the bands we have. You know, they don't want anybody bringing anything into the venue, like strollers and things that could be thrown, or umbrellas that, you know, could be thrown or become a risk in severe weather if they get loose. So, you know, we follow all those guidelines. And Brian, kind of in line with that, I was surprised. We went over to the State Fair over the weekend, and, you know, we walked in the main gate, no real checks. But then I noticed down at the grandstand for the concerts, lots and lots of checks to be able to come into a concert. So.
And you know, artists have a right. There's just cray-cray stuff that goes on. And you know, they have riders. And for those of you who, you know, I think Van Halen probably, you know, and most of it was rumor, but, you know, they became famous for, you know, the Eminem story. And, I mean, they have a list of demands before they play your venue that you have to meet.
Absolutely. What's called a rider. And then you look at even a band like the LFO and O-Town we had last weekend at the Devon. They had all kinds of security concerns backstage because they, you know, keep the crazy moms away, you know. But it's kind of interesting to see even they had strict protocols for what we had to follow when they were here.
They didn't have any translators, did they?
No.
Yeah, okay. That seems almost exclusive to the hip-hop world. Is that I don't know. I guess that's a sign of, like, when you really have made it.
I saw with a really, really, really big rock band one time, too.
Why are you being all obscure about it?
Of Linkin Park.
Okay. Okay. You're right about that. I was kind of thinking, would I consider them a really, really big rock band? Yeah, at a time, they were about as big as it gets. I'd never seen anything like that. Have you had any translators?
I more call them handlers.
Yeah.
Than translators, but yes, over my time at the Devon, I can't remember exact ones, but I do remember the guys who were really down to earth, the Trace Atkins, the Kevin Costners. I mean, Kevin was inviting everybody backstage who was one of crew members or a police officer to come take a picture.
Yeah.
So you have those really cool folks, and then you have those folks who are like, stay away from
me. And one could argue somebody like Kevin Costner is way bigger than T.I. I mean, you know, as a movie star, a TV star, some of the most iconic movies of all time, he's a musician. And I guess I feel like that guy got through all of this life still being comfortable around people, right?
Yeah, and actually, I remember last year when we had Genuine and Chingy. They came right out and spent, I think, an hour, hour and a half after the show hanging out with people. So, you know, you have both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, well, I didn't mean everybody in the hip-hop world. Yeah. I just had never seen the translation with the T.I. thing before.
Yeah.
I mean, literally standing right there.
What was it? Was it Boys to Men at the celebration? Who was that celebration? I think
we had
was
Boys to Men before. Yeah.
I think I ran monitors for them when they were here. And, ooh, yeah, you couldn't even look at them, I don't think, on stage.
If you get to a point where that you can demand that people not look at you.
Well, I think it's probably a tough pill to swallow when you're the biggest act on the planet playing, you know, Wembley Stadium, and then you're on the street. I think it's probably.
So you're arguing they should be less humble because they've been humble?
I'm just saying some people can't swallow that big of a gulp, I think.
Then go home. Don't take the paycheck. You're here to entertain.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. But I bring all that up only because that's the outlier stuff. I mean, most people that come to the Devon have a great time and play by the rules and don't act silly, right? And most of the bands come in and have a great time and play by the rules. It is just a finicky world, you know, in and around that. And sometimes you get people that show up and just act like fools at the front gate just because you got basic stuff you got to do to get right in.
And we learned very early in the day, you know, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning when the bands first arrive, usually their crew will come first and then the band will follow. You learn what the backstage politics are pretty quickly. It's like, oh, it's going to be that type of week here. So, yeah.
All right. Let's talk fall hours because this is the big week where everything sort of begins to move into a different hours of operation. So Scoville Zoo, right?
Yep.
Now through October 10th will be what?
So now through October 10th, Monday through Friday, 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 9:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. The last admission is an hour before closing. I'm sorry, that's Saturday and Sunday, 9:30 to 6 p.m. So if you want to come to the zoo and you're planning a late afternoon visit, always get there an hour early before the gates close.
Yeah.
Then we head to Overlook Adventure Park. Again, a lot of our employees are high school kids. They've gone back to school. So we've transitioned to fall hours there, Thursday, 4 to 8 p.m., Friday, 4 to 10 p.m., and then Saturday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Sunday, 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. So the cool thing about Friday's nights is I've noticed over the last couple of years, you know, a lot of high schools have football games on Friday nights, and we're either getting kids before the game or after the game to come over mini golf and spend some time. So that's a cool thing that happens in the fall for us. So, and then Splash Cove, we transition to just weekends on Saturday and Sunday from noon until 6:30 p.m. And then our last day is September 5th from noon to 6:30 p.m. And then Splash Cove will be closed for the season.
And that Memorial Day to Labor Day, traditional pool hours, right? I mean, that's the way it's always been.
Yep, absolutely. And what we run into now is we've got so many kids who are lifeguards going back to college. And then we've got our high school kids who are still around. But it gets harder and harder to get those kids who, after they've gone back to school for a solid week, who want to come and work on a Saturday and Sunday for us. But we are going to do our best to stay open and make sure that we offer the next 3 weekends to folks until we close.
Okay. This weekend at the Devon Amphitheater, told you the municipal band tonight for free, 6:30. And then that is their last show of the year. So if you haven't had a chance to see them, maybe you don't like bringing the lawn chair down, you know, you can bring a blanket and check it out in a different way. But Saturday is the Silver Bullet tribute to Bob Seger with special guest Lady Luck. Now, these guys, are they from the St. Louis area? Because I know they've played a lot in and around like Ballpark Village and some of the other things that are down there, another amphitheater in St. Louis. Are they St. Louis guys?
I believe they are.
Okay.
Yep. So Saturday, this Saturday, August 20th, 7 p.m., these guys are really popular down in St. Louis area, as you mentioned. It was a huge year for these guys. They played headlining shows at the Family Arena, the Ballpark Village down at the stadium, and Chesterfield Amphitheater. So they're a really good Bob Seger tribute band. So we want you to come out and enjoy that show with us on Saturday.
All right. Tickets can be purchased at the Devon Amphitheater.com, actually just devonamphitheater.com, and you can check that out. Now, you got coming up, A Girl Named Tom, which is, I was kind of surprised. I was not familiar with this band, but a lot of people have asked about, I always can tell by the inquiry about, do you have tickets?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then Marshall Tucker coming up on August 27th. He said tickets are doing pretty well there, but you still have some available.
Absolutely.
All right. And then we've got our 95 Q Fan Appreciation Concert with Jake Owen on September 1st.
Yep, and if you're wanting to come to that show, I know that show is well over 2,000 right now. You need to get tickets soon because it's going fast. So we're real excited about that show and the shows we've got coming up the next few weekends.
All right, is September 1st the last show?
No.
No, I'm looking at the website. It's by calendar month, I guess. Okay. So we got more in September, right?
We do September, and I think there's a couple to bleed over in October this year even.
All right. And what about overall attendance year over year?
It's been good. Last year we were hovering right around that 40,000 mark, a little over. This year we're tracking to be over 50,000, if not 60,000. So we've got another couple months here to get through, but numbers are looking really good for the Devon. And, this year it seems we've had more shows that are hovering right around that 2,400 mark, which is a good number. It's comfortable in there. You're not at that 3,000 sellout mark that the bathrooms get really bad and things like that. So we've had a lot of great shows that are, like I said, hovering around that 2,000 mark. That's a real good thing for the venue.
All right, September 3rd is Heartache Tonight, Nick, a tribute to the Eagles. That'd be one of those, like the Bob Seger things weekend. I mean, they come out and play 30 songs, and you know the words to every single one, right? And then if you're not able to get out to see the Municipal Band, put September 5th, that's the Labor Day Pops concert where the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra plays. Really good. Drew Hill coming up, Pork Tornadoes, you got Movies in the Park, Zach Williams Fall Tour, you got Wedding Band coming back. That's just in the month of September. And as Clay mentioned, I'm going to October. Then Platinum Rock Legends, October 1st. And then October 8th. I wonder if Nick's going to be busy that week. You got Devin on tap, Craft Beer and Music Festival.
Yeah.
So it looks like the 8th is the final event.
I haven't looked that far in October yet, but I knew it was October we're shutting down. So
well, there you have it. All right. So what else is going on? Oh, Shalith is going to be sworn in today.
Yes, today at noon at our park board meeting. Shalith Hansborough will be our next park board commissioner sworn in today after being appointed by the board. So we're excited to have Shalith join us. I had an opportunity to have lunch with her last week with Bob Brilli and some of our staff members to kind of orientate her and have a conversation. And I've never met her before, but wow, she's really interesting individual. Definitely a smart gal.
Yeah, she's great. We've known each other for a long time, and it's a good thing. Can I ask you, not that you have the history of this, but why does the Park Board of Commissioners meet on a Wednesday at noon?
That's just traditionally when it's always been.
Okay.
Once a month?
No, every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks.
I think when there's, hot topics, we were discussing with the Lincoln Park thing if we were going to need to move to an evening to a larger site as well, just to give folks a little more opportunity. But a lot of the feedback things, come to me via email, and I share those with the board, or folks will email the board members if they have something they want to talk about. But it works well for us. It keeps the meetings very efficient because we try to get the board members in now there in an hour and a half to 2 hours because they've got jobs to do. But it's worked well over the years. So.
Yeah, I just wonder how that started, because it is kind of unusual for public boards, and that clearly isn't your purview or anything that you have control over. I just wonder, if you go back in the history and figure out why that happened, because it is almost every other board meets in the evening hours, under the assumption that if people wanted to participate and they work jobs, that they couldn't get 2 hours in the middle of the day to come to a meeting.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm on a daytime board.
Are you?
Yep.
Well, is it a taxing body board?
No.
Okay, then you can be whatever time you want to be.
I'm just saying. It's different.
There's a big – I'm on a – most boards that are nonprofit boards meet during the day. The argument is taxing body boards meet at night when they're more accessible to the general public.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, they're a completely different thing.
Yeah, the interesting thing about that is when I was at Richland, and this is long ago, eight, 9 years ago – I'm trying to remember if we had public come to any of those meetings.
No one pays attention to the Richland board.
No, but at the same time, you run the risk of going to a 3-4 hour meeting because folks have a lot of time to just go into whatever. And so,
yeah, I'm going to stop you right there because I don't want you to say anything that's going to get you in trouble, because this has got nothing to do with you. I mean, this is the board level stuff. I'm just wondering, there's got to be a story somewhere about how that started, because it is unique versus most of the boards.
I'll see if I can find it out.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm not even agreeing with it. I mean, I think in today's world of communication, everybody's so much more accessible than they were 30 years ago, when you had to rely on being at a city council meeting at 5 o'clock to have your voice heard. I mean, that was pre-everything. All right, good stuff. We got tonight, great concert, free concert. Maybe if you haven't been to the Devon, maybe it's just not your thing for rock bands or whatever, and you want to just go see. I saw the set list. It's going to be great. They're going to do Star Trek. Can you imagine Jurassic Park, with the sun setting and on beautiful Lake Decatur with that incredible ambiance? That'll be the best community band concert of the year.
And the weather's looking wonderful.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Well, and by the time the sun starts to go down a little, you're going to be nice and maybe even sweater weather.
Nick, if you can keep it like 84 through the week, but then on the weekends, jump it up to 90, 95, so we have a good day at the pool.
Good day at the pool?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll do what I can.
Yeah.
Get that good swim weather in before it's all over.
Yep, absolutely. Clay, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. We do have, I have my four seats to give away for the Silver Bullet tribute band, and I'll do that before the end of the show today. We'll just need an email address so I can send those to them digitally. And we hope you enjoy the show. It's been a great season, and, you know, 50,000 people visiting the Devon Lakeshore on track for that number, way more than last year, which is unbelievable because last year was like the welcome back party, right? It was like year one all over again. This year, outpacing that. And I just really do believe throwing the whole Kevin Costner thing in, you know, if you build it, they will come. And some people just don't have that vision. Others do. And if you think about what that park looked like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and what it looks like today, it's unbelievable. All right, we're going to take a bottom of the hour break. When we get back here, we'll check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. And a little later today, Tanya Andricks will be with us from Crossing Healthcare in studios. If you've missed any of the show today or at any time, you can check out the podcast. They're driven by the Bob Brady Auto Group. You can find them anywhere you get your podcast, but the easiest location, just go to nowdecatur.com. Click on the podcast page. You can get Buyers and Company by the interviews or by the hour. We'll be back after this.
This is RJ Crace with your Stories Now, brought to you by Shop on Main. Join other community members at the Decatur Civic Center this Saturday and Sunday for the Decatur Train Fair. This year's train fair includes massive model layouts, swap meets, and boxcar loads of rare model train collectibles. Admission to the Civic Center arena is $5 per person. Illinois is making available $106 million in capital grants designed to help revitalize 50 commercial corridors and main streets statewide. In addition to the state funds, projects are being offered another $109 million in matching funds. Last week, the state announced an additional $20 billion in transportation investments for the Rebuild Illinois plan, including 2,500 miles of roads and nearly 10 million square feet of bridge deck. Visit nowdecatur.com to see what's coming up the rest of the week at the Illinois State Fair. And for more stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
Fox News, I'm Evan Brown. Wyoming's Liz Cheney led the House Republican critics of former President Donald Trump. Now she loses her primary to a Trump-backed challenger.
I will do whatever it takes to ensure Donald Trump is never again anywhere near the Oval Office.
Harriet Hageman beat Cheney nearly 2-1. In Alaska, Sarah Palin will advance to the November contest for the state's congressional seat. And Trump-endorsed GOP Senate challenger Kelly Chewbacca will run against Republican incumbent Lisa Murkowski in Alaska's new ranked choice system. Rudy Giuliani testifies today in front of a Georgia grand jury investigating alleged election interference by the former president. And a second sex crimes trial for singer R. Kelly starts today in Chicago. U.S. stock futures are down. July's retail sales figures are due out this morning. America is listening to Fox News.
Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan. How can I help?
Hi, thanks for telling my family and me about Toyota's national sales event. We got a new RAV4 during the event, and it's been great.
Well, that makes me happy. Right now through September 6th, it is the best time to drive off in a new Camry Hybrid, Tacoma, and more. So what are you up to?
You know, we took the RAV4 to a great spot, and now we're exploring a cave.
Amazing.
Yeah, my wife talked me into spelunking. I'm actually a complete and absolute amateur. Huh, I could have done without the echo on that.
Toyota's national sales event is on. Visit your participating Toyota dealer today to enjoy every last second of summer. Right now, get 1.9% APR for 48 months on many of Toyota's most popular models. Toyota, let's go places.
1.9% APR financing for 48 months with $2,165 borrowed on approved credit from Toyota Financial Services. This plan includes taxes, license, title, registration fees, and dealer fees. Does not include college grad or military rebate. Varies by region. See dealer for details. Offer ends 9/6/22.
Here is Nick Smith with your News Channel 20 Storm Team Forecast.
Today, we've got a chance of some sprinkles after 4 a.m. Otherwise, sunny with a high of 84 tonight, mostly clear, low around 61. For Thursday, sunny and a high of 84, and Friday, mostly sunny, high of 84 again. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 61 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:33.
Thank you.
Tupper on Sports on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Each and every weekday morning, we check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, let's start with baseball.
Well, let's start not with the Cardinals, what they did in their race to win the National League Central, but let's start with Jack Flaherty, who last night had a rehab start for the Springfield Cardinals. I think he's just such an important guy, potentially, if he could return to health. And last night in his rehab start, you know, they're going to limit his pitches here. He went three innings, gave up two hits, one walk, four strikeouts, no runs. And so that adds up to a successful rehab start. Now we'll see what's next in terms of when he goes again and how many pitches they allow him to go. Will he go a little longer? I would think so. But I think they're going to be very conservative as they try to bring him back. But that's an encouraging sign last night. Now, the Cardinals beat the Rockies 5-4 last night with a walk-off hit by pitch. Tyler O'Neill, up there with the bases loaded, sort of threw his left elbow out there and invited that pitch to hit him. The Rockies pitcher was pretty wild and forced in the winning run, and they won 5-4. Home runs by Paul Goldschmidt and Tommy Edman last night. And, you know, watching that game last night, the thing you notice now that you really like in terms of the Cardinals' chances to win the division is they have a clear edge at closer with Ryan Helsley. And he pitched a scoreless ninth last night. His earned run average for the season is 0.91. And I just keep scratching my head. Why did the Brewers feel like they had to trade Josh Hader? I realize he had gone through a stretch where he was struggling a little bit. Maybe they concluded that the division in particular, or maybe the league is getting on to him, and let's just be proactive and trade him. They get Taylor Rogers and some others in return. I just don't see it. Josh Hader was a feared closer, and now they don't have one. So I think advantage Cardinals based on that trade. They will play Colorado will be at St. Louis tonight, 6:45. You can listen to the game here on WSOY. Jordan Montgomery will pitch, and the Cardinals are still up 2 over Milwaukee in the division. And the White Sox beat the Astros 4-3, a big game for them. It did not turn out to be quite the pitching matchup that we thought. Dylan Cease went 5 innings for the White Sox, gave up 3 earned runs. Justin Verlander went 7 for the Astros, gave up 3 earned runs. Johan Moncada with a 2-run single in the 8th won the game. So the Sox and the Twins both trail Cleveland by 1 game, and the Sox and the Astros go at it again tonight.
All right. On the other side of the break, we'll do a little NFL with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. It's brought to you by First National Bank, the quality bank, now open in downtown Decatur.
Hi, I'm Matt Beavers, President CEO of First National Bank.
And I'm Doug DeHorty, Community Bank President.
At FNB, we are partnering with businesses in the Decatur area of all sizes. We know the value of working with service providers that you know and have access to. We added our downtown branch for just that reason.
We want to be where the businesses that need us are. And if you can't make it to either branch, we'll come to you. FNB can help you save with your deposit accounts, finance your vehicle fleet at low rates, and we can streamline the decision-making process in-house. Come see us at either FNB location.
Member FDIC.
We're back here with Mark Tupper. All right, the Bears.
Really interested to see their preseason game number 2 tomorrow night when they play at Seattle against the Seahawks. Maybe I'm more interested in seeing the Seahawks because they are such a new-look team. The first thing you'll notice is that there's no Russell Wilson anymore. And Russell Wilson's been a dynamic quarterback in the league and for the Seahawks for a long time. He's now with the Denver Broncos. It looks like Geno Smith is probably going to be their starter, but they were going to start Drew Lock tomorrow against the Bears. He yesterday tested positive for COVID-19, so he is out. I don't know what that does for them. That's a 7 o'clock game tomorrow on ESPN. The Bears beat Kansas City in their opening preseason game. Raises the question, as it does every year, what does a preseason win mean? I think the answer is not a lot. If you can get out of it healthy, that means something. And we all look for kind of the individual play from rookies and new roster additions, see what they look like tomorrow. Anxious to see how much playing time Justin Fields gets. They usually try to limit the starters as we move along here closer to the opener. The Bears' 3rd and final preseason game will be Saturday, August 27th, when they're at Cleveland, and then the regular season is not far away. The season opens on Thursday, September 8th, with Buffalo against the Rams. The Bears season opener Sunday, September 11th, when the San Francisco 49ers come to Soldier Field. But in that first win over Kansas City, the things you liked was what you saw from some of those new faces. Jaquan Brisker, their second-round safety out of Penn State, looked terrific. Jack Sanborn, an undrafted free agent rookie linebacker from Wisconsin, looked terrific. And I really like this Treston Ebner, a guy they drafted in the sixth round from Baylor. He's a running back. He can catch the ball. He can play and help you on special teams. Tomorrow night will also be the debut of the Bears' top draft pick, Kyler Gordon, cornerback from Washington. He did not play against Kansas City due to injury, so he makes his debut tomorrow night. 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Bears, Seattle, ESPN.
All right, Mark, enjoy your day. We appreciate it, and we will check in with you first thing tomorrow morning. So we were having, before the Clay stopped by, a conversation about Liz Cheney and the Republican philosophy change. And Mark writes an interesting take this morning on the Montana vote. I think he meant Wyoming vote, but I digress. I don't believe either side actually changed, just that they learned something new about each other that they didn't know before. We all know people that we liked or appreciated, but once we found out a little bit more about them, we changed how we thought about them. Neither of us changed. We were just exposed to something that we didn't know previously. All right, Mark, if you take that litmus test, then you're telling me we were wrong about George Bush, we were wrong about John McCain, we were wrong about Mitt Romney, and we were wrong about Rodney Davis. What did you learn about Rodney Davis that you didn't know about him that caused him to lose that congressional seat? What did you learn about the last Republican president and the last two candidates for the Republican presidential nomination that you didn't know before that you know now that make them wrong? Other than they all have said Trump's a bad guy. I don't know that George W. Bush's philosophy about life has changed at all. John McCain went out swinging. Mitt Romney was a hero to this party. And what did you find out about Rodney Davis that caused him to lose this congressional seat that you didn't know before, other than the Trump endorsement of a woman who has done nothing? What did you learn about Mary Miller that caused Rodney Davis to lose? What did you learn about Rodney that caused voters to turn on him, other than he wouldn't downplay what happened on January 6th? So that four lies a day average, that's lying to yourself too. Liz Cheney's had the guts to do what Kevin McCarthy's never going to have the guts to do, and that is tell the truth and be honest. And I'm telling you, these people come through here, and what they say off the air versus on the air, these Republicans, you all are lying to yourselves. They're lying knowingly because they know what happens if they don't lie. I think there's a lot of people, and Mark, you're probably one of them. If you heard what was said off the air by these Republican candidates, you would go, oh. And then there are other people who wouldn't even care. As long as you tell them the election was stolen and the Trump should still be president and he walks on water and he's not taking all that money you give him and just enriching himself and he was a great president. What changed about George Bush? What changed about John McCain? What changed about Mitt Romney? And then what did you learn about Rodney Davis that made him deserve to lose that race to Mary Miller? If you can answer those questions for me, I'd really like to hear it. Because the party deemed fit to elect George Bush twice as president of the United States of America. They selected John McCain as the candidate of choice. They selected Mitt Romney. Out of all the Republicans in the United States of America, those were the choices. And Rodney Davis served us for a decade. And what did you learn about him that caused him to lose that election? You can like it or not, but make no mistake, this is why they all scurry around and lie. Just outright lie, because they realize the circumstances and what happens to them with one tweet from the former president of the United States, to a point where we're getting people running for office endorsed by Trump that think when you refer to a banana republic, you're actually talking about a store in a mall. This is how you get the Boberts and the Greens, and it's how you're going to become extinct as a party, at least have it. Look at Illinois. Frank Watson was wrong. Dwayne Nolan was wrong. What did you get to know about Dwayne Nolan since? I think it's really delusional when you can look at the landscape and truly believe that this party hasn't gone a whole different direction. And the ones who are not that way either get voted out or they just flat out lie about it because it's in their own political interest to do that. That's the landscape. What did you learn about Liz Cheney? Well, I mean, you thought you knew her before, but now you know it what? That she tells the truth, that she stands up, that she's courageous? Dick Cheney was the vice president of the United States for 8 years. Did you see his message to the voters? You think Dick Cheney, at his state of life, has just changed his political philosophy? Or is he just calling the thing for what it is? And even if you disagreed with Liz Cheney's politics, you think death threats are okay? And then when those threats are actually pursued, we go to false flag? You people have all turned into Alex Jones and you don't even see it. What'd you learn about George Bush? What did you learn about Mitt Romney? What did you learn about John McCain? And what did you learn about Rodney Davis that you didn't know?
For what it's worth, Rodney Davis' score of how often Davis voted in line with Donald Trump's position, according to 538, 88.8% of the time.
That used to be good enough.
9 times out of 10.
Yeah. And do you want 10 out of 10 in life? I mean, what gets accomplished when everybody's 10 out of 10? That's the litmus test anymore. And it's not even 10 out of 10. It's 1 out of 10 is the litmus test.
It's that one that cost him.
Just bow to the altar. Don't ever criticize. I mean, you talk about Sal the Shoemaker. I mean, that's how this stuff runs. It's the greatest mob name I've ever heard, by the way. Because they were running all this out of a shoe shop, a shoe repair shop in New York. But that's what they do, right? This loyalty thing, which what they're really saying, the loyalty isn't, hey, 9 out of 10 on my policy is pretty good. It's the one suck-up thing that you have to have, and if you don't have that or somebody else does it better than you, that's where the loyalty goes.
Liz Cheney, same scale, 92.9% with Trump.
So what did you learn about her that you didn't know? 92% on policy. 92% on policy. She won that district 2 years ago by 73 points, lost it yesterday by 30. 92% on policy. What did you learn about her that you didn't know before? That she'll stand up to bullying? That she'll stand up to lies? That democracy matters? That it's not okay to storm a Capitol?
Kinzinger, 90.2, just for the record.
Yes. Right.
They aren't on at the
but,
other
but
end.
But it doesn't yeah. matter what they do. It's what they say on Twitter. Everybody's got a right to cast their vote for whoever they want to cast their vote for. And the people of Wyoming do whatever the people do there. But you got somebody who 92% of the time was with you on policy. 70% win last time around, 30% loss this time around. 2-year span. 92% on policy. I get lost in this. I process stuff. It's not RD or you know, it's right or wrong. And there's plenty of examples of it on the other side too. I just don't know how you can rationalize it to yourself that the 2-term president of the United States, the last 2 candidates for president of the United States, and our own decade-long serving congressman, that we all learned something about them we didn't know before. That's how you see this? Well, I blew by that by 5 seconds, so I guess I'll go another minute.
Oh, you're plunk.
Oh, fine. No, well, they're right there.
You're totally fine.
Okay. You
warped 10 minutes.
Yeah, I did. Okay. Well, no, I'm not even sure that clock thing didn't just change there.
Hey, by the way, Mary,
it could have been reset. What?
Mary Miller 100%.
Okay.
For her record.
All right.
For what it's worth.
But what legislation did Mary Miller pass? That's her voting record.
Yeah. In regards to Donald Trump, like
no, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. But then I'm saying, but the people of the new 15th, what did she do for that district? I mean, right. What did she, project did she get funded? What thing did she do? What jobs did she create? I mean, yesterday we had this big announcement around 8 a.m. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine she's going to be doing any of that? Economic development, job creation, right? It's just become the party of no. And I don't think everybody in the party, I think if you actually got all of them to admit honestly, if every Republican that has come through here gave what they tell me off the air and said it on the air, you'd hate every single one of them. And they would be enemy number one. And it didn't matter whether they were 92%, 95% in line policy. It's that 1% that makes all the difference in the world today. And if you can't figure that out, I don't know what to tell you. It is as plain to see as possible. And there's no shame. And there's no self-awareness. And you just keep drinking the Kool-Aid and reading the stuff that reinforces it and following the people on Facebook. They're going to keep saying the same things about you. What changed about Rodney Davis? Let's just keep it as local as can be. What did he do to not earn a re-election from the people in his district after a decade? What did he do? What did you learn? What do you know now that you didn't know then about him? Now, you're right to vote for whoever you want. But self-awareness comes with life. And I think right now you got good people justifying a lot of bad things with some really twisted rationalization about what it all means. By the way, George W. Bush, the actual last Republican that could get elected to the White House before Trump. 1 term out, 2 impeachments. Now, maybe Ron DeSantis is the answer. Maybe who knows what the answer. I don't know. And there's an awful lot of people that are whispering around, and I mean the money people, not the diehard rabid supporters showing up in camo, but the money people that are going, look, we like 92% of the policy, but this stuff's got to go because it's just keeping anything from getting done.
Yeah, there's real opportunity.
Can't we have the policy without the polarization and all the other stuff? There's a lot of that conversation going on.
Got to grab those victories because yep. They're there to be had.
But they're not. Look at Central Illinois. Look at what we have right now, what it's shaping up to be, what our representation will be on the GOP side of federal and state government. You know, when you need to land hundreds of millions of dollars invested in the community and creating jobs in the latest, you know, bio, you know, you think Mary Miller is going to do that for you? When you need legislation from whatever it might be, you know, I remember we called Senator Menard at that time about the Oasis, you know, homeless shelter. I mean, you think Dan's going to get that for you? You think Chris Miller is going to get that for you? Nope. They're over there with the Oath Keepers and the QAnon kooks talking about making it harder to vote. What's that going to do for our district? And I'm way more practical than R or D or red or blue about the community I live in. If a person can help do this, then that's the person you go to help do that. I'm asking you, what help are you going to get on that side about anything meaningful when we now have, we'll have, once the election takes place, a congresswoman that was the only member of Congress in the Illinois state, entire state of Illinois, that didn't bring home a single dollar in earmarked money for her district and brags about it. So Dan can, you know, donate his salary to charity and hand out a couple thousand here, a couple thousand there to some charities. Good for him. But, I mean, is that why you elect someone? And then you pick Darren Bailey to be your gubernatorial pick, Tom DeVore to be your state. I mean, at what point do you just say, I give up? We're never going to have the ability to do anything. And you would think that with all the things that are out there to pound on, that you could get some traction. But do you see that traction happening? And I haven't seen it happening, by the way, for 20 years. This isn't anything new other than you had, I guess we call them moderates. We used to call them moderates. We used to be just people who were pragmatic. They work across the aisle. That's the only way you get anything done. It's the only way anything gets accomplished. We used to celebrate that with Ray LaHood or Dwayne Nolan or Frank Watson. I mean, that was the way business got done. Now they're rhinos. And if you're proud of having Marjorie Taylor Greene carry the banner for your party and be a spokesman, and if you're proud that a guy who's backed by the former president doesn't even know what a banana republic is, I mean, if you're fine with all the stupidity that comes out on a day-to-day basis representing you, great. Your choice. I'm not. So I appreciate the email, Mark. I'd love to get some feedback on what you learned about Rodney Davis that you didn't know about Rodney Davis before, if that's the analogy. And what you know now about George W. Bush that you didn't know before, and what you know now about Mitt Romney or John McCain that you didn't know before. John McCain being the guy who served as a prisoner of war in Vietnam, which was then made fun of by your guy. Made fun of being a POW. What did you know then, and what do you know now? Okay, enough of the soapbox. We got a lot to cover here today.
It's a nice sunny day.
It is.
Yeah.
Sal the Shoemaker. Isn't that just right out of Martin Scorsese?
It sure is, yeah. I just bought Mean Streets yesterday digitally.
Not my favorite.
No, but I need to give it another run, and for $5 I thought I'd give another shot.
No doubt. For sure. It's just that was a little too auteur. You know what I mean? Like I liked when he became a little bit more of a mainstream director.
I agree.
There's some stuff in the '70s still holds up. Some, you know, not as much.
I love French Connection.
That's a good movie.
Yep.
That's William Friedkin.
Yep.
Gene Hackman. Dog Day Afternoon is a really good movie. Serpico's a good movie.
Yeah. I love Serpico.
So there are some, but Mean Streets, I thought, and I'm hit or miss on Harvey Keitel, to be quite honest with you.
I didn't like him in The Piano, naked all the time.
Well, weird. I wasn't even going there. I was thinking more like I like
no,
his,
I know, yeah.
Like as a cameo guy in Pulp Fiction, really
perfect,
good.
Yeah, scene stealer.
Yeah, as the lead in a movie,
can't carry it.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of people, very famous guys, and a lot of great movies.
For me,
yeah,
for me, I should say.
So this Sal the Shoemaker was operating. They had a shoe repair shop, and it looks like something right out of The Sopranos. Right?
Yep.
That little thing they're always sitting outside of, mm-hmm. you know, with the coffee. And,
yeah, Satriali's.
Yeah. and so Sal the Shoemaker, Salvatore Rubino, 58 years old, was among those arrested. I remember after Rocky came out and Apollo Creed was known as the master of disaster, and Muhammad Ali said that he wished he had thought of that before the movie.
Great alliteration. Yeah,
right?
That's great. Yeah.
So you got to think that the Martin Scorsese's of the world were waking up this morning going, how in the world did I not come up with Sal the Shoemaker?
Seems so obvious.
All right. Hey, we're giving tickets away to the Silver Bullet Band. Tonight, the Municipal Band free, 6:30 at the Devon. We're running out of Devon. I mean, you got the rest of this month, you got September, you got a couple things in October, but I really encourage you, you got to support these things. And clearly they are, because the numbers are up even over last year, which was huge. But I still talk to people every day that haven't been. I'm like, what are you waiting for?
Hurry up. It's free tonight.
Yeah, free tonight at 6:30, and then we'll give tickets away at the top of next hour for the Bob Seger Tribute Band. We'll take a break now, actually, for the real news. Back with more right after this.
Car, home, mobile device, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is RJ Crace with your Stories Now, brought to you by Shop on Main. The Illinois Department of Health Care and Family Services has announced the launch of the Program of All-Inclusive Care for the Elderly. The new PACE program is designed to give another option for older adults who are eligible for both Medicaid and Medicare in choosing their care. It provides medical care and social services for adults 55 and older who qualify for nursing home care but are able to continue living at home at the time of their enrollment. The Community Foundation of Macon County has recognized the 2022 Do Something Great awardees. These are individuals and organizations who have made a significant positive impact on Macon County through giving of their time, talent, and/or treasure. The foundation hosted a luncheon for the winners. We'd like to make a positive impact on you with our website. Go there anytime to see more stories.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.